NPR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for joining me on the program. We have a packed show for you tonight, as always. In the second half of the show, the Catskills are pushing forward with solar energy, but the road to sustainability is raising concerns about land use, habitat loss, and corporate influence. Radio Catskills' Annie Bennett spoke with representatives from the Solar United Neighbors about how the region can balance clean energy goals with community and environmental protections. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, and every Friday we have the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shewanko Journal letting us know what's happening in Ulster County, in Annville. And of course, we have a primary coming up next week, Tuesday, June 24th. So, Chris, welcome to the program. So what can you tell us about some of the Ulster County and Annville candidates that are near our area here in the 209 corridor?
The Democrats had a caucus event on Sunday, and of course, we were there to take pictures and listen. They, of course, have candidates for the Village Board of Trustees in Annville and the Town Board in Wawarsing. So it's also a candidate for, is announced already for the 15th Ulster County legislative seat, currently held by John Gavaris, who is going to leave that seat probably after the election for ill health reasons. He's not well. TJ Briggs, who previously had a seat at the county legislature, has put himself in and will run in November to win that seat. So that's the county legislative stuff. Coming down to the town board, we have three candidates running for two seats. One of them is Bill Brown, who is the deputy supervisor and is already occupying a seat on that board. So he's basically running to be there again. He's for his own seat. The other two are Lenny Distel, a former supervisor. I think he was supervisor for 6 years. He's running, and a new face at this level, which is Samantha Ellis, who is currently a board of trustee on the Ellenville Village Board. So she's trying to step up to the town board. So they appeared and gave their pitches. Basically, Bill Brown is steady as he goes and continuing a lot of things that the town board has been doing. The town board has got behind efforts to make Broom Road Park better and to refurbish the playground equipment and so on. And of course, the town board has also made efforts to add more improvements to Lippmann Park, so that the town has two really nice parks. So he made his spiel. Samantha Ellis basically was, I guess, because she's expressing a view from a community in the village more than anything else, and wants to bring that community more into the life of the town. Was stepping up the village's life, bringing in people who are renters in the village, and making them more of a part of the town, therefore, receiving the benefits of that. So she made that a pitch, very lively. And then Lenny Distel is a voice from the past. He's been out of power for a while now, but he is pushing to be back. And he talked up things that were achieved during his time as a supervisor 10 years ago. Well, yeah, about that. Anyway, so that was the town board people. Running for the village trustee position, we had three candidates as well. One was Letitia Kentop, who has various posts and sits on boards, and she's running. She will be bringing a fresh face to things if she wins. Let's see, who were the other people? I'm kind of thinking, I get my report on this because I can't remember everybody. It was got so many people, you get confused.
Yeah.
Let me see. What was it? Nosari Lewis Rivera is running. She is currently the director of recreation for the town and the village. She is now also running for a village trustee seat. And she has done a great job as recreation director. And then Angela Dayuti is also running, and she is a slightly newer face. New face. And she is on the Environmental Commission, and she's bringing, I guess, it's a sort of a slightly floppy kind of term, the new people, but she's one of the newer faces in the village and has already shown herself to be very active and energetic. Right. So she's running. So we've got three people running for those positions, and we'll see how that one comes out. Also, the Wawarsin Republican Committee had a meeting the same day behind closed doors, not a caucus.
Right.
And candidates, Mike Machetta and Sue Nibe, who are running for the seats they already hold. And they also put forward former town councillor Cassie Spohr to be their candidate for the County Legislative District 15. So she will end up running against TJ Briggs. Craig Lopez, current long-standing legislator for the 14th District, will continue in that role. And so far, the big mystery is, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't heard yet any word about a candidate for town supervisor. Currently, that post is held by Terry Houck, who has been in that position for two terms and has a long-standing seat on the town board. And he is making up his mind whether he wants to do it again. He hasn't answered that question. So there's the story in Washington and Ellenville. Oh, there's a slight complication. If Samantha Ellis wins the seat on the town board, then she will resign her seat as a trustee on the village board. If she doesn't win, then she'll retain the seat on the trust as a trustee. If she does resign that seat, then the mayor Trent will appoint somebody to that seat. They will have 1 year as an appointed member, appointed trustee, but then they'll have to run for election in November 2026 to win a full term. To win the final year of Ellis's term, which is a four-year term, and then they'll have to run again in November 2027 to win a full four-year term. Is that complicated enough for
everybody?
Yeah, that
it is.
Yeah, anyway, so I was writing this up after that meeting, and, it was going to swim before my eyes. Anyway, so that's the little political situation on this corner of Ulster County. And, of course, the big issue of the UCRRA landfill went away. They pulled that for the moment. I did an interview with the CEO of UCRRA, which, by the way, stands for Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. And it is a benefits-oriented agency set up by New York State to run waste removal and care thereof in Ulster County. The special little beastie, this UCRRA. Anyway, and it's independent. It is not part of Ulster County administration. That's the point that Ulster County people who are in the administration always make whenever this topic comes up. Anyway, Mr. Ryder is moving forward on a new angle in dealing with waste and rubbish or stuff that we don't want, which is to have a reuse center. What this basically means is, okay, so you've got you have an old stereo system that you don't use anymore because you've moved on to using a tiny collection of little gizmos that go with your phone instead.
Right.
If that's the case, then you have this record player, you have a big amplifier, you've got speakers. At this point, what do you do with them? Well, you may be able to recycle some of the electronics, like the amplifier. But it better if you could take it to a reuse center, you can stack it all together. If it's in good condition, if it's only played, 500,000 records,
right?
Then they will see if it can be reused. It'll be put out on display. And people coming into the reuse center, which may be local and it may also be at the Kingston Center, can buy it. And not for very much, it'll be priced and it will be in good shape and repaired and the rest of it. A lot of people might take advantage of that. The same thing will go for armchairs and sofas and coffee tables and all kinds of stuff that I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have, and many people have, of going to the transfer station, tossing away our garbage, and noticing right. what's going into one of the roll-offs, and seeing that there's perfectly good tables, chairs, whatever, going in there, because people are getting rid of them, and they don't have any other option but getting rid of them. That will be something that the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency is looking to cut down right. by having a reuse center. Now, this concept is already at work over in Ithaca, in that area there. I can't remember the name of the county, but over there, they've got a very good-looking one, and it's a system that's already working on the West Coast. And so the idea is to really ramp that up so that a lot less stuff gets sent to Seneca Meadows, the huge landfill. And there's another aspect to this, which is something that we should all think about, which is that from now on, over there, particularly on the West Coast, buildings are not demolished. They are dismantled carefully to try to keep all the 2x4s, to keep as much of the material in the building that's being taken down in a usable shape so it can be reused. So the cheerful days of swinging a sledgehammer and just smashing stuff up coming to an end. Instead, if there's a series, and actually guys are having classes in this, of how to pull apart 2x4s, 2x6s, and so on without damaging them too much. Right. Well, that's an interesting concept, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's an awful lot that rides on that. So, you know, because, again, you know, you look at the roll-off for C&D, as they call it, right, construction demolition, at the transfer station, and it's often just loaded with pretty good-looking wood and pretty, you know, okay, it's beat-up sheetrock. But, I mean, could that sheetrock have been prized off the wall and retained? We'll have to see if that's going to be possible. But that's the sort of thing they're looking to do, to really cut down on the amount of that kind of waste. That was an interesting interview. That's a little article. There's more details. It's in the Shongum Journal. I would advise anyone who sees it to pick that up. Let's see what else has happened. So we had a planning board, town planning board, and there's one interesting out of the town planning board I've got to talk about. There has been an application going into the town planning board thing for quite a while by Mr. Goodman for a subdivision of a 200-acre property that is basically all farmland, I think dairy farming, sitting kind of behind everything, behind Turkey Hill. If you know where that is, just think on the other side of Turkey Hill, and then in the kind of the woods that run all the way up to Rogue Harbor Road and over to Cherrytown, which is in Rochester. And in that area there, this is 200-acre parcel, and he wants to subdivide 10 acres of that, put a road through, and have a house on that. Well, the initial proposal was to have the road come through from Route 209 via Old Queens Highway and Old Broadhead Road. However, there's a long drive that goes up through a number of other parcels, and the neighbors there were against having that road broadened. They would have to be widened out and trees taken down to conform to town standards. So they switched it around, and he went out, and they found they have another way to get in from the Cherrytown Road. This is now going to be one of those complicated things where they've just got a pretty much conditional approval and more washing, and now they're going for an approval in Rochester, because it's over in Rochester, that entrance at the other end, which that's one of those things. You think you're done? Nope, you've got to go to another town for further approvals. However, Rochester hasn't got too much of a dog in this fight, so they're going to let that go. So finally, to the thing that I wanted to get this about. What Mr. Goodman has been doing for years on that property is going around and pulling off the old rusted barbed wire, two-strand barbed wire that was put up all the way around the 200 acres to keep the cows in. He has amassed a mound of it. There's this pile several feet high of this stuff. And it's just something to see. So we got a picture of that. Yeah. And that is a legacy from another time. It really is.
Wow.
We have hardly got any, with this hardly any dairy left in, certainly not in Washing. The only dairy I can think of in this part of Ulster County is up in Accord, where right. they keep Jersey cows on a beef cattle farm.
Right. And now that gives those dairy farms much smaller than they were years ago when Ulster and Sullivan County were sort of like the tons of dairy farms.
Yeah. If you're driving around in the town of Shawangum, and you might, well, actually, no, you have to go into Orange County. There's a couple of dairy farms over there. There's Seldom Rest on Conifer Road, mm-hmm. and there's another one a little further up, which actually I think is in Ulster County. Yeah, I mean, they are basically vestiges now, remnants of what was a quite a significant dairy industry in the area.
We're talking to Chris Rowley from the Shawangum Journal. Let us know what's happening in Ulster County and Ellenville. Chris, until next week, talk to you soon.
Okay now. Bye. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Local Edition on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. When we come back, we'll talk about solar panels, whether they're good for the environment after all. Stay tuned. From so much stumbling down all the day.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
The Gender Clinic at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, which was the biggest clinic in the country, announced that they were shutting down. And they actually cited all of the pressure from the Trump administration and just the liability concerns they're facing right now.
I'm Natalie Kitroev. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Hey there, I'm Jason Dole. The White House asked Congress to take back $1 billion slated for public media, and they're about to do it. The House said yes, and now it's before the Senate, and time is running out for you to act. Please, tell your senators not to cut funding for programs you rely on in the Catskills and Northeast PA. Tell them what local news, culture, and emergency info mean to us all. Find out how at protectmypublicmedia.org. That's protectmypublicmedia.org.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. The Catskills are charging ahead with an ambitious solar power goals. However, the path to a greener region is proving to be complex. There's been growing concerns about land use, environmental protection, and consumer safety. Critics say large solar farms destroy habitats, let big corporations into small towns' affairs, and it gets rid of farmland. But proponents argue that solar helps the environment. It creates jobs, and if done right, can benefit the general population. Radio Catskills reporter Annie Bennett spoke with two representatives from Pennsylvania with Solar United Neighbors. This group aims to increase equitable solar growth across the country. They dove into these pressing issues, examining the challenges the region faces as it transitions to clean energy.
My name is Rachel Paterka. I am the Pennsylvania Program Associate for Solar United Neighbors.
And I'm Monica Carey. I'm the Pennsylvania Program Director.
What are the real benefits to solar?
Solar can be a huge financial incentive for people. It helps to reduce your monthly electric costs and helps to reduce the amount of energy you're actually purchasing from your utility.
What sort of legal battles is Pennsylvania facing right now?
There is a bill, House Bill 504, that is part of Governor Shapiro's lightning plan. It is called Community Energy because it enables community solar, a program where there's a large offsite solar installation that community members are able to subscribe to a portion of that power, and then they get a credit applied to their electric bill. It is legal in 45 states. It is not legal in Pennsylvania. It is, however, an active program in both Delaware and New York. And we have kind of an agricultural lens around solar in community energy, as well as many of the other legal fights happening. The other big one that's happening right now is Solar for All. So this is federal funding. It's $156 million that was appropriated to Pennsylvania back in 2022 as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And it would pay for solar installations and energy efficiency upgrades for low-income and income-qualified residents of Pennsylvania. June is really Pennsylvania's budget season. And so legislation that is high priority, if it's going to get passed, it's going to be probably through budget.
What's the argument against the community solar bill? Like, why would people seem opposed to that? It seems like a great program.
It is a great program. I think it's more people may not know about it. I think there's also just some skepticism around solar in Pennsylvania. We're an energy exporting state. We have a long tradition of fossil fuel production. And so there's a question of creating these solar programs, are we choosing favorites between energy sources? We don't see it that way. We see it as just adding another tool to the toolbox in terms of energy production.
Yeah, absolutely. So solar is a huge part of creating sustainable jobs in Pennsylvania. We have over 4,300 jobs in the state that have to do with solar. That's quite a large number of families that are sustained by the solar industry. It's a $5 billion industry. And we can only see that increasing with these programs if they were to pass. Although there is quite a bit of threat from federal legislation at the moment. I do want to mention that the IRA and the big, beautiful bill that recently has gone through the House, it would potentially really make residential solar difficult in Pennsylvania. It would eliminate the 30% tax credit, the investment tax credit, which allows families to save 30% on their solar installations. And that is going to be eliminated in 2026 if the bill goes through the Senate. And that would potentially eliminate thousands of jobs in Pennsylvania for solar installers. And it would also make it very, very difficult for any of these other solar programs to exist or be realistic.
Thank you. When you're building a solar farm, you obviously need to go somewhere. And I guess I'm curious, like, how do we balance the need for renewable energy with also, you know, habitat disruption and farmland?
Yeah. So I think that there are ways that this has been done in other states that have been really effective. So in Ohio, their community solar program adds incentives to build on reclaimed mine land or, you know, brown sites like that. So unusable land that can now serve a purpose, and that purpose is providing energy to community members. I think the main thing that I would say is the land, it does not have to be prime farmland. And in fact, that usually doesn't make sense for a farmer to take their prime farmland and turn it into a solar site. Typically, the land is unusable. There are different grades of farmland. There's like prime farmland, which is used for crops. And then there are lower grades of prime land. And so it is still deemed farmland. But, you know, a farmer is not going to be able to use it to create a lot of revenue for the farm. But what they can do instead is lease out that land, grow solar, and they can make a profit off of that. This is a way to keep a farm in a family or keep it in business. And you can use land that is otherwise unusable. So it really should be a win-win. And that's where Sun tries to come in and bring that education.
I also wanted to mention that you can make solar panels work with farming and with land. It's not necessarily the case that putting solar on a land makes it unviable for all other things.
I think where there are potentially issues is there are some developers who may not know all of the laws in Pennsylvania. They may be interested in developing a community solar site and not realize that it's not legal here. Developers may lease land with the hopes of community solar being enabled or one day being able to install a utility scale solar project. And so basically, farmers are holding a portion of their land for a developer for a project that may or may not happen.
Do you think that it is ignorance of the law, or do you think that there is also a financial incentive for them to try to work around it?
I think it's more likely to be ignorance. I can totally see that the assumption is, oh, Pennsylvania must have community solar as well. I don't think that there's a financial incentive for them to purchase land that they're probably not going to be able to develop a project on.
Okay. But I do want to talk about some of the, you know, scams that we are seeing. There's a lot of documented issues of people being taken advantage of by these industries. I'm wondering if you could talk about what your organization is doing to help prevent it.
It's essentially third-party sales companies where they are acting as a liaison between a homeowner or landowner and the installer. And they're essentially, you know, they're going to do the door-to-door knocking. They're going to offer really lucrative appearing leases, typically, which is why we recommend people really be cautious about leases. And they'll use phrases like free solar or no cost solar is typically how they frame it. And what they're really doing is offering a product that it typically has no upfront cost or no signing cost, but then the monthly payment is astronomical.
So when you say astronomical monthly payments, like what kind of numbers?
$400. I've seen up to $600 a month for somebody who previously was paying maybe $100 for utility bills. And so maybe they're not paying those utility bills anymore, but they're not doing better financially by going solar.
Right.
And whatever monthly incentives you might get for solar, you've signed away to the company or to the installer. So you're really just financially not benefiting from solar at all.
And then when you say that they essentially sign away their any money they would get from solar, is that because the monthly payments are so high that it cancels it out? Or is it because the third party sales company is like taking
both?
Wow.
Both. Yeah. So it'll cancel out any financial benefit to the homeowner. But there's also something called an SREC, a solar renewable energy credit. So these are credits that are bought and sold for energy generated by the homeowner. And basically, the installer or that third party sales company retains the right to those credits. So they get that compensation.
Wow. Okay.
It is such a bad look for solar. If somebody comes to you and is trying to sell you something that seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Sure. Consumer protections is top of mind for Solar United Neighbors. There is a facet of that in every project that we do. How we work with the public is all in the interest of the public. I mean, it's not renewable energy at all costs. It's renewable energy where it benefits communities. We do roof reviews. We'll go over proposals. We offer a lot of like outreach and help to people to kind of vet these companies. And what we've seen with some of the residential scams is it's oftentimes not companies that you would see as a typical installer.
We'll help you figure out what the financing looks like and whether or not this is a real deal.
From Liberty, I'm Annie Bennett for Radio Catskill.
Thank you, Annie, for that report. And that does it for the local edition on this Friday evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. We'll be back on Monday and we do this all over again. Starting your morning news right with Radio Catskill in the morning, starting at 10 a.m. Your evening news with the local edition starting at 6. I've been your host, Patricio Roballo. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe this weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from French Bistro La Cigone in Narrowsburg. casual dining with 180-degree views of the Delaware from its outdoor deck and patio, family recipes with a flair of Alsace, craft beers and cocktails, French wine, and a raw bar on weekends. LaSagoneNY.com. And support comes from the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. Information and schedule at CalicoonTheater.com.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.